Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that for the opportunity once again we have to take part of your word and look at it and apply it to our hearts and lives. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the weather's calmed down a bit. And Father, we pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts now and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15. And 2:15. And it says, study to show thyself approved, the workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And so that's a command that we need to take heed of and prepare for. That's our responsibility. It's no one else's responsibility. No one can make you open the Bible. No one can make you read it. No one can make you study it. No one can make you memorize it. That's something that we have to do. All right. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the state of the churches that are in apostasy, some of them. And then we have also, we can look around the world, and the world is certainly not in any better shape than the churches are. They're far worse. And so these things, it's a warning. That's what's going to happen in the latter days. And that's exactly what has happened. The Word of God is true, pure, and it's always totally accurate. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, and verse 17, chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul speaking, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Lord has not left us hopeless, without any kind of light. He has left his word that we can fall back on, and I shouldn't say fall back, but we need it all the time. That's something that we should take hold of in our lives and remember that without it, we can't do anything. We need God's word. We need God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but nothing of my own. And so we need God's word in order to know the right path that we should be on. In the last days, there will be those who do not believe. We can go around the country today, and our country, once they would call themselves a Christian country, but today we're far from it. We are so far, it's just, this damage is so bad that getting back to where we were is almost impossible to do. Except God, do it. I want to turn now to John chapter 3. All right, John chapter 3. The responsibility of the church is to give out the gospel. Our responsibility is to take God's word to the whole world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And when we look at this, we have to understand, when we come into this world, we are not children of God. We are sinners, ready to be saved by Christ, if only we believe. But in verse 19 it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." And here, the Lord's telling us that if the world does not understand the gospel, it's because they're rejecting the light and accepting the darkness that's around them. And it's our responsibility as believers and as a church is to give out God's word, so the word of God can penetrate the hearts of the people through the Holy Spirit, that they can in turn read God's word and believe and trust Christ as Savior. And in John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Our job is to give out the gospel. That's our number one priority job. And in Romans chapter number 10, Romans 10, Romans chapter number 10 and verse 9 and starting, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And so what we see in these verses here is that someone preached the word of God, someone heard the word of God, and someone believed the word of God. That's the requirement. There's no other way. You hear someone preaches it, or you read it, or you hear the word of God, and then you believe it. And that is just states clearly what our responsibility is. Preach the word of God. In season, out of season, preach it all the time. Wherever you go, whatever you do, preach it. Because man has a condition that is unfixable by man. When you turn to Romans chapter number 1, Romans 1. In Romans chapter 1, we see man's condition. For the wrath of God, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for if God has showed it unto them. Somebody may say, well, I have no one showed it to me. Well, look around. Look at yourself. Who made you? Who made a complex body that you have? Who made your brain? Who made your heart? Who made everything function the way it does perfectly? Who made all that? Only a creator, only God. And then when you look at it, okay, and you look at the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon, who holds everything all together? Only God. So no other answer could be. Who made all the plants and all the variations? You know, who made all the animals? Who made all that? It's something that people can't say, no one's told me. Because you can look up to heaven, and the heavens declare the glory of God. You can look in throughout the world and look at your own self and your own body, and you can see that what we have is God created. Verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for someone not trusting Christ. No excuse at all. It's just, for them, it's an excuse that they make, that I can hold on to it. But the real crux of the situation is that they love darkness rather than light. And that's why they are blinded. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God gives everybody light. Every person born in this world comes with light, some kind of light. And it's how they respond to the light that's given to them as they grow, become older, that determines what, you know, how they mature and how they grow with it. But everybody has been given light. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We can look at all the fools we have in the world today. Can't tell one gender from another. Don't know how many genders there are. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. But it's because they are becoming fools, because they reject God. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look what happened. They started worshiping things. The moon, the sun, the stars, begin to worship their gods that they made, totem poles, or whatever you want to call it. And not to pick on that, but again, they worship rats, cows, whatever they can, but not God. And so they became fools. And the Bible says here that wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto the vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and then receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You can look at everything that's going on in this world. All the sin that's here, every last one of them, no excuse. It's because people have rejected God and had turned away their hearts from truth. And when they commit the sins that they commit, they not only commit them and they laugh at them, they laugh about them. They are joyful when things, and then when others are joining with them. Sin is all sin. I don't care what kind of sin it is. It could be homosexuality. It could be adultery. It could be murder. It could be anything. You name it. Sin is sin in God's sight. And he hates all sin. But he loves the sinner. All right? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's a loving God that wants people to come to him. He doesn't want people to be fools. He doesn't want people to be reprobate. He wants them to turn to him, trusting him for their lives. But it's up to them. God doesn't make anyone turn to him. He gives us all a choice. And that choice is something that we have to deal with day by day, moment by moment. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you still have to make a choice day by day. It's a continual thing. It's not something you do one time. You say, okay, I made the choice. I'm going to be good the rest of my life. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work at all that way. Because everyone, we're in a sinful body. We're going to be that way until the Lord comes and takes us away. And then at that point in time, then we get a new body. Now, in Proverbs 4:19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The wicked don't understand how severe and how bad they're doing. Even when they're having fun, they still don't realize that 1 second away, they could be lost for eternity with no cure. And yet God has given them an opportunity. God has allowed them to stay alive for the amount of time that they have, and he wants them to turn to him. But they have to be the ones doing the turning. They have to turn to him. The wicked are blinded. What I want to do is I want to look now at what's in the future. All right? And turn to Revelation 9. Revelation chapter 9. And verse 13 is where we start. The seven seals had already been opened, marked by the Antichrist being revealed, war, famine, death, martyrdom, and earthquakes. That's what's coming in the future. Revelation 9:13. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and the jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the horse heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of God and silver and brass and stone and the wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. They were putting their fist up at God saying, we're not going to do what you want us to do. They were just totally rejecting God. And as a result of that, that's why the wrath of God is being shown here. Why? Because they rejected God. God gave them an opportunity, gives them a chance. God gives everybody a chance. There's just no excuse for it. Everybody has a chance. You know, some people say, well, God's not good. Well, if God's not good, he's not going to give you a chance. You know, he doesn't pick and choose who can be saved and who can't be saved. He knows, according to his foreknowledge, who's going to be saved. But everyone has an opportunity to trust Christ. Every single individual. Everybody. There's no excuse. So here, we look at it. You know, and we continue looking at it. It says a third of the vegetation burned up. A third of the rest of the vegetation gone. A third part of the sea became blood. How do you go fishing? With the sea, with blood, you know. And what about the fish in the sea? A third part of sea life died. A third part of the ships destroyed. You know, right now there's a whole lot of coverage in the news about the ships of all the militaries. You realize that if a third part of the ships could be destroyed, that's a lot of ships. You know, I wouldn't want to be on a cruise ship when that happens, right? You know, I can picture the Poseidon movie where the ship turns upside down and everybody dies. You know, it's just a third part of the ships destroyed. A third part of the rivers became bitter. Men died, many of them. A third part of the moon, stars, were darkened. A third of daylight and night gone. The bottomless pit was opened up. And air and darkened the surrounding air. Locusts came out of the pit, not to hurt the plants, but man only. That did not have the seal of God in their forehead. The men were to be tormented, not killed. And yet, a third of the men died, and yet they did not turn to God. You would think the survivors would turn. After seeing all that destruction, after seeing what has just taken place, you would think that they would turn and say, we trust you, Lord. We want to turn to you, but they don't. You know, just like Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart was hardened because his heart was already hardened himself. But God just did a little more for him. Turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 20 now. And it says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver. Neither repented they of their, verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of the fornication, nor of their thefts. They all had a chance. They're rejected. As we go into the 16th chapter of Revelation, we look at it, and now we have the seven vials. And during those seven vials, we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to read them. It says here that they had malignant sores, sea turned to blood, fresh water turned to blood, men were scorched because of the heat, there was darkness, there was an invasion from the people in the east, earthquakes, and more destructions. And yet, in Romans chapter 16, in verse number 9, it tells us that the people still had a problem. It says, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed for the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They repented not after all this. And so we see that it's a continuous problem that mankind has. And can it be fixed? Can it be fixed? And who can fix it? Who can fix it? You know, man in the tribulation time period, you know, it's going to be God, wrath of God. People are going to want to be killed and they're not going to be able to die. You know, rocks fall on us and they're going to survive. So what do they do? What would happen if the apostles had given out God's word, had not given out God's word? What would happen if you look at Noah? If Noah had not done what God told him to do, there would be no world, right? Or he would have to find someone else. And he found one, and that was Noah and his family there. What would happen if Abraham did not leave the land of Ur and go where he's supposed to go? What would happen with that? What if Abraham said to his wife, honey, we're going to go to another land. We're moving. And she said, huh? Where are we moving to? You know, and he says, I don't know. And he says, well, we want to go somewhere. You don't know where we're going? Yeah. What if she would have said, I'm not going? Thankfully, she didn't say that. She went with him, all right? What would have happened if Jonah would have said, I'm not going to Nineveh?
Well, he wasn't too crazy.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't too crazy about it at all. But what would happen if he didn't go back? Okay? Those people in Nineveh would not have been saved. And so he had to obey the word of the Lord. What would have happened? Huh?
I said he wasn't happy when they were
saved. No, he wasn't then. He knew God was going to do that. That's why he didn't want to go. And so, no. But what about Mordecai? You know? What about Mordecai? What would have happened if he did not try and reach out to Esther? And what if Esther would have said, no way, I'm not going before the king. I'm going to get killed if I go there. I refuse to do it. All the Jews would have been killed. All right? What about? All right? What about Moses? You know, what would have happened if Moses said, I'm not leading those people anymore? You know, what would have happened? All through the history of how God has dealt with man, it's full of examples of how men and women have done things for the Lord, and God uses men to do that. He could do things himself. He doesn't need man to do it, but he uses the weakness of man to accomplish his task. That's what he does. And so it's not just I have to do everything. I don't have to do nothing. Okay? It's I have to trust on Christ because he's the one who is going to strengthen me and guide me and direct me. And it's his word, people responding to his word, that's going to be something that's going to be beneficial for the souls of other people. Okay? They can listen to my word or your word and not go anywhere. If we go in our own power, that's all we have is our power. When we're out there in the flesh and trying to testify to people and witness to them, all the things that we want to talk to them about, and if we get in the flesh with it, it's just for naught. When we go witnessing, we need to be, you know, prayed up, studied up, and in the right heart attitude in order to give them the gospel and to give it to them correctly. The body of Christ has the responsibility to evangelize the lost world through the word of God. Not through that your word or my word, but through the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces the lost of their lost condition and need of a Savior. It is each individual man's choice to believe the word and trust the Lord for salvation. That is the key. It's man's choice to believe. It's man's choice to reject if he wants to reject. But as a believer, our command is to go. Not just do nothing, but to go and give somebody else the word of God. Be fruitful and multiply. You know, when you give out God's word, that's what you're doing. You're multiplying on the face of the earth. That's what you're doing. You're telling folks about the Lord. And you, why? Not because you want to get a number on your belt that says, hey, I did 350 souls this year. No, that's not the point. The point is, if you only get one, that one is just as important as the 350. Because God loves every soul, wants all to come to repentance, not just one. He wants everybody. And he wants everyone to go forth and do it. Sometimes people will say, you know, the things just aren't right. You know, I don't feel good today. I got a headache. I find that when I go and I have a headache, after I go out and pass out tracts or witness to people, I still have a headache. But I have a joy in my heart that someone has received God's word. It's not always how good we feel when we go. It's just that we want to go, and we do. We listen to what God says. All right? Now, if you're sick, really sick, that's a different story. But even then, God can use you. You know, I had to get surgery on this arm. And then while I was in the hospital, and look, I'm not bragging just because I didn't know what I was doing, all right? But I had drugs in me, anesthesia, and when I was on the table, they put me under, and they said, count backwards. And then, so I was counting backwards, and then what I started doing was just quoting the scripture as I was going. And they said later that, you know your Bible pretty good. And they was, you know, and I was quoting the scripture. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing it. My wife tells me all the time that I saved my pillow. And my pillow has gotten saved thousands of times because I preach to it in my dreams, all right? And it's scriptures that I'm using. And so why? Because that's what I'm familiar with. That's what I'm doing. That's what I believe in my heart. And that's what I'm trying to live. It's not my strength. It's not me doing it. It's the Lord working in me. And at times when I need scriptures, you know, because I've memorized scriptures, that he brings those things up to me that I can remember them. And they come in handy many times. It's the choice of each of us to evangelize those around us. Will you evangelize people around you? You know, your neighbors, your relatives, friends, everybody, people at work, people at the doctor's office. You know, go to Walmart, go to Home Depot. Many times you go there, people will thank you. When I'm giving out tracts, I very, very seldom, I'd say 99% of the time, people are thanking you, I'm getting a tract. Why? Because they know the importance of that. Now, one day, that's not going to be happening. People are going to turn their hearts away from that truth, and they're not going to want it. And then they'll turn around and persecute you. But until that day comes, even when that day comes, you still can do it. Still give out God's word and let the Lord take care of that. And if you have to suffer for that, like many of the apostles did, many disciples did, if you suffer for it, then absence from the body, present with the Lord. It's only a good thing. It's all good. No longer here, home with the Lord. That's far better. You know, and so I want to encourage people to give out the word of God. It's our responsibility as a body of Christ to help others do the same thing. You know, it's better when, I remember years ago I started a bus route, and our church didn't have one at the time. And I went out, and it was just me. I went out, and at that time I had a little Toyota Tercel. And I went out and decided that I was going to bring kids in. The pastor had given me a responsibility to, I asked him for a Sunday school class, and he gave me, says, well, okay, you got the teens. And I went into the classroom. They had three teens. And one of them was the pastor's daughter. And so I decided that we needed more teens. We needed more children. So I went out, and the Lord blessed again and again and again. Give us more children, more teens. So much so that at one time at the end, we had 35 teens in JV, in the teen group. All right? Now, some of them moved, but the Lord blessed, and those 35 teenagers received the Word of God. Some got saved, some didn't, but they still got the Word of God. We continued with the bus route. All right? I went from my Tarcel to an AMC Pacer, which is not very big. Filled that car up too. Then from there, went to a Ford 150 van. 350 van. And so filled that up with children. And then a new pastor came in, and then we bought a bus. And then we bought a second bus. And we had both buses filled with children. All right. How did that happen? People going out. As I went out, then I needed help, and so I asked others to help. They came out, they helped too. There's no way I could visit 120 children all in one weekend. But people come out and help. And so it's something, you encourage each other, help each other to do that. No one person can do everything. You have to have help. When you go out and testify and witness to people, you're supposed to go out two by two. All right? Just go out and take somebody else with you, because that's where you, if you need help, you have someone else that's there to help you. And I'm not talking about physical help to keep you from getting hurt. I'm talking about help if you draw a blank as to what you should do or can do, and to help these people that you're talking to. Sometimes the person that's there with you, as they pray and you witness, or as they witness and you pray, you know, sometimes you get off track, but the other person can pick up where you left off, and then because they're still listening and praying for you. So it's important that you go two by two, all right? But you go. You encourage people to go. Sometimes, you know, in the world, you know, you send off missionaries and things of this sort. You can't go with them. Chili Graham, we couldn't go to prison for Chili Graham, you know, but we can certainly help him when he was going. We couldn't help go with Dave Hunt writing books, or T.A. McMahon, or Nick Calavota, or Ron Merriman. We couldn't go with those guys, but we can certainly help them do what they were doing, writing the books and going places and doing different things. If you're able, then do what you're able to do financially. There's no one's making you do it. It's your choice. It's your choice to minister to people. But the Lord wants all of us to go. He wants all of us to serve Him, you know, to whatever degree you want to. Once again, it's your choice. And this world is falling apart, and this world needs the gospel, and there are people that are dying every day without Christ. And it's our job, the church's job, to propagate the gospel with the Word of God and let the Lord speak to the hearts of the people. That's our task. That's what we have to do. It doesn't make any difference. One time, oh, by the way, what I didn't mention, in our church that we had the start of the, the bus route in, we had 14 members. We had a vacation Bible school. We had 120 kids. So it works. You know, you just go out and you let the Lord reach them for you. Some of the parents would say because of that. All right? It's just, and you just do what you can do as the Lord gives you guidance and direction, and you look to Him. It's not for your glory, it's for His glory. That's what it's all about. Honor and glory to Him. Nobody else. It's praise Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, would get a vision for the lost condition of the world, and give us a vision and a concern for those people that are lost. And help us, Lord, also to think about ways that we could reach them. Lord, I know that we give out tracts and we speak with people all the time. But pray, Lord, that you would help us to, Lord, just to see someone else that needs your word. And, Father, we can give them the hope of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus came and shed his blood on the cross at Calvary to pay my sin debt and the sin debt of everybody that believes. I pray, Father, that you would just, Lord, help us to, once again, just to get a vision for what you'd have us to do. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus once again. I pray, Lord, that you'd lead and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.